You're listening to healthradio.fm. I'm your host, Tammy Lynn McNabb. I am in studio with Dr. Nat Strand. She is an anesthesiologist and pain management specialist who currently works at the Mayo Clinic, also the past director of integrative medicine at Freedom Pain Hospital. As a person living with type 1 diabetes, she has always done her best to motivate and inspire others who live with diabetes. She's competed and won the Amazing Race, I believe 17, being the first person with diabetes to win the show and also part of the first, yay, all-women team to win. She's partnered up with Colgate this year to help raise awareness around the overall effects that diabetes has on oral health during National Diabetes Month, which is in November. She's appeared on many national TV shows, including The Doctors, Extra, The Rachel Ray Show, and CBS. Natalie Strand, MD, is an Arizona native and a new mother. Dr. Strand, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So you won the Amazing Race. So you've got to start right there. Forget that you have diabetes. They're like, let's talk about her having diabetes and winning the race. It was a hard thing to do.
It was. I always joke that the first leg of the race for me was just figuring out how to fit all of my diabetes supplies in a backpack, because we only get one backpack, and I had to fit some clothes in there, too. So there was a lot of planning involved.
Doctor, take us through what it means to have type 1 diabetes. I think, a lot of people today are most familiar with type 2 diabetes and how it's caused and the onsets of diabetes, and it's become somewhat of an epidemic, especially with younger people. What is type 1 diabetes?
Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disorder. It used to be called juvenile onset diabetes, but we are seeing it in adults as well. Basically, our immune system attacks our islet cells in our pancreas, which are responsible for making insulin. So essentially, people living with type 1 diabetes do not have the capacity to utilize carbohydrates or, just metabolize and utilize energy from there. So it's basically a disorder of carbohydrate metabolism. But what it means for us is a lifelong condition taking insulin, either be via insulin pumps or subcutaneous shots, testing our blood sugar, really managing everything we do from, exercise to travel to managing an illness. I don't think there's any part of someone's life with type 1 diabetes that isn't affected by living with type 1 diabetes.
And for the viewers, how does that differ from type 2 diabetes?
Type 2 diabetes is mainly a problem of not utilizing the insulin you make, so it's sort of a receptor problem. So you make insulin, but your body either doesn't make enough or you don't respond to it appropriately, whereas in type 1 diabetes, you just don't make any insulin at all, so you're immediately reliant on taking insulin to survive.
And I think you'll probably agree, and I read in one of your Instagram posts that, a lot of times people minimize the seriousness of what type 1 diabetes is. You were in a coffee shop and a lady saw your pump or was what I thought was rude enough to ask you what that was on you, which was none of her business. But, when you had told her it was your insulin pump, she was like, well, at least you're not going to die from cancer. I thought it was for chemo. Why do you think people don't quite comprehend the seriousness of type 1 diabetes?
I don't know. I think that some diseases are largely invisible. Diabetes might be a little bit like mental health, where there's sort of an underappreciation of the impact of it. And so I've never understood. I've gotten that a lot. People find out it's type 1 diabetes. They say, at least it's not cancer. And my answer is why? Why is, diabetes better? You can have a terrible outcome from diabetes. You have a lot to manage every day for the rest of your life from diabetes. Why is this okay and cancer is not? And in no way meant to minimize cancer, but we need a cure for both. We need respect for both. But I think it's largely because diabetes is an invisible disease. And there's also a stigma that for some reason most people are responsible for having their own diabetes, which is totally inappropriate as well. So I think there's a lot of underappreciation, even in the medical community, for the impact that diabetes has on someone's life.
Take us through a day of being a type 1 diabetic. How does it work for you? What things have to happen throughout your day in order to maintain or manage your diabetes?
So the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is test my blood sugar before I even get out of bed. If it's elevated, I will administer insulin. If it's low, I need to take in glucose, and then I get ready for my day. Before I eat anything or even drink coffee, I have to give myself insulin to make sure that I can account for the food that I'm intaking. Whatever activity I do, I have to plan for. So if I'm going to walk more than usual because I'm in New York right now, I have to take less insulin in the morning. Or if I'm going to be less active than usual because I'm taking a plane ride, I have to decrease my insulin dose. So basically everything I do, I have to plan for. Every time I eat a meal, I need to estimate the amount of carbohydrates in that meal. And I also need to estimate how much fat's in the meal because a high-fat meal will digest slower. So I may need to administer my insulin over a longer period of time versus a high glycemic index meal, which will, you know, spike your blood sugar faster. And then before I need to go to bed, I need to check again to make sure my blood sugar is high enough that I can safely go to sleep and not worry about going low and sort of passing out in my sleep, which is a fear that almost everybody with diabetes has. So there's a lot of things, you know. Basically, every move I make during the day, I have to think about diabetes first.
So you say passing out your sleep, that could potentially lead to you dying.
Yeah. I think, you know, every parent I've met with a type 1 child, that's the biggest fear. I think the people that get the least sleep aren't actually the people with type 1. It's the parents of a child with type 1 because that mom or dad is up a couple times a night, every single night, you know, checking their child's blood glucose level. So I think that's a lot of everybody's anxiety, and it's certainly possible. I mean, thankfully, it's not very common, but it's certainly possible.
So how does, I mean, you're a doctor and you are literate in medicine. How does a child get through a day at school being type 1 diabetic?
You know, children are amazing. And, you know, I think not knowing too much about something makes it a little bit easier to cope with. And I think just the resilience of children is so great. When I was a child, I found it easier to manage my diabetes because I thought it was kind of cool that I could carry a purse or eat in class or go to the nurse's office. I'm sure my parents were a lot more stressed out about it than I was at the time. But, you know, I think now having education, having continuous glucose monitors is really helpful because a parent can monitor their child's glucose level even when their kid's at school.
Wow.
And then they can text the school nurse if the blood sugar is going low. So there's a lot of technological advances that make it easier to keep track
that's
of blood glucose.
That's amazing, actually. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a huge improvement. I have one friend whose child is a college athlete, and after big games, he can check his son's blood glucose level even though they live in different states. So
wow.
It's a wonderful safety mechanism.
Let's talk about The Amazing Race. You won season 17, is that correct?
Yes. Season 17, first female winners.
Yeah, which is obviously being a female, I think that is so amazing. What was your motivation, A, to do something as crazy as go on to The Amazing Race as a diabetic?
Well, I think that having diabetes almost makes me want to do certain things just to prove to myself that it's not holding me back. And I think The Amazing Race was certainly an opportunity to probably face almost every single challenge I can imagine living with type 1. So the time zones, the irregular activity, the not knowing when your next meal is coming, the stress of travel, being in different countries. I knew that if I could do that, I could do anything. And I also knew it would be a wonderful platform for other people touched by type 1 diabetes just to show that they can do anything too. And if I could inspire or just make people feel comfortable doing things, I really wanted the opportunity to do that. And that's exactly what it did, I think.
What were some of the major highs or and or lows that you had that really stick with you after being on the show?
It's funny. I can answer that as far as blood sugar levels as well as emotional highs and lows. But,
yeah.
You know, I loved being with my teammate, Kat, who's also a physician. And she learned a ton about diabetes, you know, because we have to stay within 20 feet of each other for 3 weeks. And she didn't have any idea what it took, you know, what I did every day with diabetes. So that was really fun just to share that experience with her. I loved going to the Arctic Circle. I also enjoyed my time in Ghana. We built a school for children in Ghana, which was a really amazing experience.
Sure.
I'd say my lows were definitely, number one, having to eat a sheep's head, which is not on my daily list of things that I like to do. And then
is that a carb or a protein? Just kidding. I'm like, is that a carb or a protein?
Well, you know, it was a protein. I was lucky.
Yeah. It's like, yuck. You are in New York for a very specific reason. What are you doing with Colgate?
Well, I'm partnering with Colgate Total and the American Diabetes Association to really raise awareness about the link between oral health and diabetes. A lot of people don't know this, but according to the Centers for Disease Control, people living with diabetes are 2 times more likely to develop gum disease. And because Colgate Total is the only FDA-approved toothpaste that can reverse and prevent gingivitis, which is an early form of gum disease, I really wanted to partner and bring this information to people living with diabetes, which is almost 30 million Americans at this point.
Why would they be more likely to develop gum disease?
When you live with diabetes, whether it's type 1 or type 2, you're more susceptible to bacterial infections. So it's just harder to fight off infection, and this includes gingivitis. Mm-hmm. So we are 2 times more likely, but it's important to know that there are things we can do to treat it. You know, brushing and flossing daily, making sure that we're in good touch with our dental team, actually getting our cleanings every 6 months, making sure our dental team knows that we're living with diabetes so that they can be sure to address any concerns they may have related to this. Of course, having good blood sugar control is really important. It helps your body fight off infection. So I really just want people to be aware of this. And you can find out more at oralhealthanddiabetes.com, diabetes tips, oral health tips, as well as tips for managing gingivitis if you do have it.
Doctor, where do you see advances taking place as far as curing or managing type 1 diabetes in the future? I mean, you've said technology has come a long way.
Absolutely. I mean, right now the focus seems to be on the tech side, not really on a cure, but in decreasing the burden of diabetes. So if we can automate part of it, we do have continuous glucose monitors. So I wear a sensor in my abdomen that sends my blood sugar to my iPhone, actually. But they're working on insulin pumps that can integrate with this. So if my blood sugar is trending up, it will be able to give me more insulin to bring it down. Or if my blood sugar is trending down, it can actually suspend my insulin. So it'll be really good for those overnight low blood sugars. It'll be really good for overnight high blood sugars, and it'll just ease the disease burden. As far as a cure, you know, we've had false starts, and I've had so many times I was excited over the past 28 years. So I don't know if we're going to see it on the genetic side, if we're going to see it on the transplant side, if we're going to see it on the immunotherapy or stem cell side. But right now it's really exciting on the tech side because things are right around the corner for automated systems.
Fantastic. Now, do you have a personal website that people can go and see more about what you're doing?
Well, I would direct people to oralhealthanddiabetes.com. I think that's where a lot of my tips for managing diabetes will be found, and that's a good place to start.
Now, good luck to you in being a new mom. I'm not sure which is harder, type 1 diabetes or having your own child. Do you think you were worried before? Life is forever changing. How old is your baby now?
Well, I have 2 babies. They're 15 months apart. So my son is 2.5 and my daughter is 16 months old.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You are a busy, busy mom.
I'm a busy mom, but you know what? They're so cute. So it kind of, at the end of the day, I'm so tired. I put them to sleep, but then I look at their pictures because I miss them. So,
Dr. Strand,
like every mom, I guess.
When they turn 12 and 13, you won't miss them as much when you're on the road, just so you know. Just kidding. Mine are lovely, but they talk back now. It's a totally, totally different parenting regime. Doctor, thank you for being on the show. We look forward to talking to you again soon about type 1 diabetes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Doctor.